Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18. We're going to read three verses, starting with actually four verses. We'll chant together. This is 37. Should be. Yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yad agre chandu bande cha. Is that a different verse than what you have up there? Oh. Excuse me. Let's try it again. I got ahead of myself. Yatad agre vishram eva. Hariname namrito pamam. Tatsukam sattvikam proktam. Atma Bodhi Prasadajam. Yat Tat Agre Vishram Eva. Pariname Ritopamam. Tatsukam Sadvikam Proktam. Atma Bodhi Prasadajam.
Atma Bodhi Prasadajam.
Yattad Agre Visham Eva.
Yattad Agre Visham Eva.
Pariname Mritopamam.
Pariname Mritopamam.
Tatsukam Satvikam Proktam.
Tatsukam Satvikam Proktam. Atma Bodhi Prasadajam.
Yattadagre Visham Eva.
Yattadagre Visham Eva.
Pariname Mritopamam.
Pariname Mritopamam.
Tatsukam Satvikam Proktam.
Tatsukam Satvikam Proktam.
Atma Bodhi Prasadajam.
Atma Bodhi Prasadajam.
One more male voice, please. Ladies, please. Mritopamam. Tatsukam Satvikam Proktam. Atma Bodhi Prasadajam.
Atma Bodhi Prasadajam.
Yat.
Which.
Tat.
That.
Agre.
In the beginning.
Vishvam
Iva.
Like poison.
Pariname.
At the end.
Amrita.
Nectar.
Upamam.
Compared to.
Tat.
That.
Sukham.
Happiness.
Satvikam.
In the mode of goodness.
Proktam.
Is said.
Atma.
In the self.
Buddhi.
Of intelligence.
Prasadajam.
Born of the satisfaction. Translation. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Report by Srila Prabhupada. In the pursuit of self-realization, one has to follow many rules and regulations to control the mind and the senses, and to concentrate the mind on the self. All these procedures are very difficult, bitter like poison, but if one is successful in following the regulations and comes to the transcendental position, he begins to drink real nectar and he enjoys life. Our commentators have joined 36 and 37 because it's actually a verse and a half about the mode of goodness, happiness in the mode of goodness. So I'll just go back to 36. Well, Prabhupada has translated this differently. That this the second half, abhyasad, has to do with by practice. Ramate has to do with enjoyment. Where dukkha ends and one gains happiness. Nigacchati. Dukkantam cha vigacchati. So the mode of goodness, in contrast with passion and ignorance, mode of goodness requires practice. Sense gratification doesn't require practice. There's the sense, there's the object of the sense. Go for it. Little comment. When I was in college, there was a phrase, the hedonism phrase. If it feels good, do it. Now the phrase is, just do it. That's marketing. You just make it shorter. Got milk. Just do it. If it feels good, do it. So, passion doesn't take practice. It's the object and the sense. And some things appear attractive to other embodied beings, it's unattractive, it's the opposite of attractive, it's repulsive. But it has to do with the body, it doesn't have to do with the self. classic example that Prabhupada would give, the hog-like stool. To a human, abominable. To a pig, adorable. The tail goes like this as they're doing their thing. And, you know, with their snout in the gutter of sewage, and they find some stool and the tail goes, or and the Vrindavan Parikrama path, after some rain, there's some spots where it's there isn't drainage. So there's a big, not just a puddle, but kind of like a pool of water, with, and it's all muddy. And the pigs go in and they wiggle around. And, I don't hear them saying ooh, but their body language is ooh. They like it. And so it has everything to do with the body, has nothing to do with the soul. So the attraction and repulsion to sense objects is a matter of embodiment. And the mode of goodness takes practice. It's to rise above the perception of that kind of happiness, that the sense enjoyment, the sense repulsion, and practice to, that's in this verse 37, with buddhi, it's right in the verse, with intelligence to withdraw the mind, because the mind is a place that holds conceptions. So the animal kingdom, lower than human forms, whatever species, don't have this capacity. Intelligence has not yet evolved. So if a human being doesn't do this, no better than an animal, literally. Polished animal life. So human life is where intelligence is directing the mind. And the mind is directing the senses, and the intelligence that directing the mind, which is directing the senses, has a goal that requires practice. And that goal is to realize the self. You know, in kind of comfortable language for worldly people these days, discover the self, discover yourself. There are courses where seminars where introductory courses are taught to new people that are just starting to learn about Krishna consciousness. It's a 5-part discover yourself. There's a group of college outreach devotees in a certain place, and they want to this semester make themselves more relevant and relatable to a Western audience, so they have different versions of discover yourself, and then they plan to present the 5-part series. So anyway, it's to strengthen the intelligence to discern what is the self. And if you're in the mode of passion, you don't ask that question. Just do it. And if you're in the mode of goodness, you say, wait a minute, who am I? Really? So that's the beginning. That's asking the jigyasu, the inquisitiveness. You know, the biblical saying, seek and you shall find. But if you don't seek, and it's right in front of your nose, and you won't find it. But the inquisitive spirit starts it, And then comes some practice to search for the self, try to discover the self. And with that practice, with any of the yoga systems, any yoga system, it requires control of the mind. Hey, to control the mind. Ooh, to control the mind. But you have to exercise the intelligence. You have, so it drives one of the forces that drives the intelligence to become strong and stronger and be able to give consistent direction to the mind is you really want to know. And you connect with knowledge that's not misleading. In Kali Yuga, that's rare. I was describing over the weekend meeting this college student from University of Alabama. The situation was Alabama and Clemson were in the national playoffs for college football. Alabama lost. But half the plane was filled with Alabama students. So one was sitting next to me, and he hadn't ever met a Hare Krishna devotee, so he didn't even know how to address. But in the course of the discussion, he's interested in meditation, which means controlling the mind. And he doesn't have a teacher, doesn't have teachings, he just went online. You know, it's everybody's guru is Mr. Google. And he found a type of meditation, I never heard the name of it before, da-da-da meditation. Mm-hmm. And do you know about da-da-da-da? No, I didn't comment. Do you do meditation? Yes. So there's a person that wants to know. And his expression, he said, I don't know how to describe what my experience is. I said, try this. A place of higher consciousness. I said, yeah. So human life has access to a place of higher consciousness. Rather than happiness in the mode of passion or happiness in the mode of goodness. There is another kind of happiness. So, for example, happiness in the mode of goodness, we know, we all have experienced it, is being charitable, or acts of selflessness, when you go out of your way to do something for someone. Or maybe it's just your family value is you extend yourselves to others. And when you do that, you feel something. It's a happiness in the mode of goodness. You have... Anyway. And when the mode of goodness is there, there's a happiness that's not available through just do it. Or lamentation, the other kind. Misery because the happiness didn't happen the way you thought it would happen. So this is just... It's connected to yoga, because right in the verse is the word Atma. So the lesser form of there's gradations of happiness and goodness. And where it's all headed is the happiness of the soul. Because that's the happiness that we really want. It's knowing who we really are and being happy with who we really are. And who we really are, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Prasanatma means completely satisfied. So prasanna, completely, not just contented, but radiating happiness within. Chapter 15 describes a happiness within. When that's experienced, what's going on in the world of the senses and sense objects, the world of duality, it can be a tornado, or it can be, you know, apple pie and ice cream. It doesn't, there's not happiness. or distress, because the happiness within is so abundant. And if one who is situated in that happiness, nothing disturbs them on the attraction or repulsion side. That's the spiritual happiness. But before the spiritual happiness comes the mode of goodness happiness. It helps you. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's like a picture window so you can see what's on the other side. Mode of goodness. Instead of a wall, you can't see what's on the other side. But if there was a window, you could see what's on, not on the other side, but you can see what's on the other side. Mode of goodness permits you to see and connect with who you really are, although you're not yet situated in the real activity of who you really are. It's more than notional. It's vigyan, realization. Gyan, vigyan. So, cultivation of spiritual intelligence that gives direction to the mind and the senses. That means you forego the just do it program and you go into this contemplative pause, reflect, become situated in knowledge. And then when you do practical activity, it's in pursuit of self-realization. It's not in pursuit of the senses contacting sense objects and getting a sensation that's supposed to be happiness, but it doesn't turn out to be real happiness. It turns out to be poison. That's the next verse. So in the beginning, that practice, it means restraining the just do it tendency, the passion tendency, the senses contacting an object, or just on the mind, you know, I'm feeling... I know one really, really wonderful devotee that struggles with expectation, and then they become intolerant when their expectations aren't met. It's a rule. Expectation that doesn't match reality equals frustration. So the goal isn't don't have any expectation. The goal is spiritual expectation. We're not impersonalists. We don't like get a dagger and stab it to death. I don't feel anything. That's not the goal. I have no expectation. I'm just situated in silence. I'm just hearing Prabhupada speak about this in the Vrindavan lectures, because there's one person that told me they read these quotes from the books, some books they've been reading that are not from our acharyas, that says, silence is God. It's like, you know, take the desire that's of the soul, put it under anesthesia. I don't feel anything. I don't desire anything. I don't say anything. I don't do anything. I'm meeting God. And guess what? I'm God. I just forgot because I got too much involved in speaking something or desiring something. So I learned how to not desire anything. And voila. So, Prabhupada was saying, some people, this is Nectar, this is Vrindavan 1970, Radhadamodar Temple, Kartik month, with for about 20 days, sitting behind, actually it was to the side of the temple, Radhadamodar Temple, with a group of devotees at his feet, I don't know, 20, 25 Western disciples, explaining Rupa Goswami's teachings, right there by the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. They must have been first-hand hearing from Prabhupada in that circumstance, very special. Hearing the recording. Anyway, some people say silence is a way to reach God, but our teaching of bhakti is practical activity. Everything comes from a source. You engage those things that come from the source in service to the source with love and devotion. That's the path or the medium for realizing the source. Then he said this whole Hare Krishna movement didn't come about because I went somewhere and sat down and it was silent. Using a microphone, not only so, utilizing Krishna's energy in service to Krishna and using the power of speech. So, what's driving those things? It's the intelligence. And it's the spiritual intelligence is given by Super Soul and reconfirmed by the cyclic succession, the teachings of the cyclic succession. It's the same. It's the same. Super Chaita Guru speaking, Krishna and Bhagavad Gita speaking, and the line of the cyclic succession taking what Krishna speaks and saying what Krishna speaks. It's the same sound vibration. And that when the intelligence becomes restored, rejuvenated, purified, as Krishna says in this chapter, one who studies this sacred conversation is worshipping me with their intelligence. When the intelligence becomes purified, it can then direct the mind and direct the senses, and then it's nectar. This nectar because we're contacting who we really are. And it's not just, I don't have to go through that just do it thing anymore. I can be who I really am. But it's not just, you know, relief from the negative. It's there's an innate happiness within. It's already there. We're looking outside and we won't find it outside, but it's already there. We look inside and it's already there. So that's the yoga system. So the mode of goodness helps one connect with the yoga system and helps one connect with all the yoga systems, whatever the different brand or version of yoga is, done properly. Two more verses, then I want to read from Baladev Vidyabhusan's commentary. It's really nice. A little more detailed, but that's fine. So, Text 38, that happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. Purport. A young man and a young woman meet, and the senses drive the young man to see her, to touch her, and to have sexual intercourse. In the beginning, this may be very pleasing to the senses, but at the end, or after some time, it becomes just like poison. They are separated, or there is a divorce, there is lamentation, there is sorrow, etc. The happiness is always in the mode of passion. Such happiness is always in the mode of passion. Happiness derived from a combination of the senses and the sense objects is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. 39. And that happiness which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from the beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be of the nature of ignorance, happiness and ignorance. Purport. One who takes pleasure in laziness and in sleep is certainly in the mode of darkness, ignorance. And one who has no idea how to act and how not to act is also in the mode of ignorance. For the person in the mode of ignorance, everything is illusion. There is no happiness either in the beginning or at the end. For the person in the mode of passion, there might be some kind of ephemeral happiness in the beginning, and at the end distress. But for the person in the mode of ignorance, there's only distress, both in the beginning and at the end. So, Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajoguna, Samudbhava. Arjun asked Krishna a good question. He asked many good questions. But one of them is, what is it that impels one into action? Even it goes against your discrimination, so that there's intelligence that says, this is good. And I've considered from many different angles, and this is going to be really good for me. I want to do this. And we find ourselves, after some passage of time, not doing this and doing that. It's as if we're some other entity is controlling us. Because we decided we're going to do this, and we end up doing that. So why does that happen? And Krishna's answer is, it's the modes of nature. When the modes of nature are strong, or in the biblical saying is, what is it? The will is strong, but the flesh is weak.
Flesh is weak, spirit is willing.
Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But modes of nature took me away. Flesh is weak. So that's like on the bodily platform, the false ego, meaning forgetting who we really are and misidentifying with who we're not. The gross or the subtle covering, because it can be both or a combination, or either or the combination. But whatever it is, it's we forget who we are. And when we forget who we are, the modes of nature are ruling that territory. And the mode of nature that prevails first is Raja Gun. Raja is, I want to enjoy. And so, specific here is the senses and the sense objects, but I want... So we have bodies, and those cultivating the mode of goodness also have bodies. They have their sense objects out there, and their senses. But so that the seems like poison in the beginning is you just don't do certain things. You don't lie, and you don't steal, and you stay clean, and you stay regulated, and you tolerate, that's a big one, tolerate. And if I have my expectations, back to this devotee, you have your expectations, I don't tolerate, because I got an expectation. And my experience isn't matching my expectation. So, I'm not happy. I'm not happy because I'm intolerant. I'm intolerant because I'm in this these lower other two modes of nature. It's a nice devotee. They have a very strong transcendental side to them, or more than side, very prominent feature of their character. But then there's this other irritating one. Expectations and intolerance and frustration, and their happiness just goes out the window. At least for some time. Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajoguna, the culprit is wanting to enjoy separately. That's kama. And from kama arises from contact with the mode of passion. I want to enjoy. So then there's specific enjoyments. That's my expectation part. It's about me. It's not about... So bhakti is, it's about Krishna's happiness. That's a whole paradigm shift. You know, because material consciousness, guess who is at the center? Me. I and mine. And happiness isn't there. It can be happiness in ignorance or happiness in passion. Happiness and goodness says the self, the real self, put that at the center. Then comes the soul of the soul. Paramatma is the soul of the soul. And then our relationship of loving exchange with that supreme soul. That, so the Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma nasochati nasochati, neither hankering, that's the expectation, or lamenting, oh, it didn't happen that way. Samaksarveshubhut. So that's, Prabhupada explains this, that's Brahman realization, that's good. That's like transcendental good, but it's incomplete. You can't stay there unless you take shelter of loving service to the object Krishna. So the taking shelter of the object Krishna is what we're being taught right from the very beginning in the bhakti process. We're not there yet, but if we have a little understanding, some good guidance, and enough good sense to say, I'm not there yet, but I know that's right. I feel that's right. And the scripture says, I have faith in the scripture, I have faith in the teachers and teachings, and our founder, Acharya, he's not going to send me down the wrong path. So I accept it. And I cultivate it. So that's the practice part. Now I want to read, and then I think we're going to end. If there's a discussion. Bhanu Swami, whose his main base is in Chennai, he's done such a nice service. He's translated commentaries. He ran out of commentaries to translate. He translated commentaries of the Bhagavatam and Brahma Samhita and the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami and the commentaries of Bhagavad Gita and both Vishwanath. He's really prolific. So by his kindness, we have the commentary of here's Baladev Vidyabhusan, Bhagavad Gita. This is the translation and purport. Oh, best of Bharata's lineage, hear from me about three types of happiness. That happiness which brings joy and destroys sorrow with practice, which appears to be poison in the beginning, but becomes nectar, which arises from purity of intellect connected to Atma, is in the mode of sattva, goodness. Very nice. Commentary. The Lord promises to tell about the three types of happiness in the first half of the verse, in the little footnote that says, happiness in Baladev's terminology is the goal of action. So like, you know, the carrot. What are you pursuing when you're acting in goodness, passion, or ignorance? Whatever that is, that happiness, that's the goal of your activity, that's what's the topic. Krishna describes happiness in the mode of goodness in 1.5 verses, starting with Abhyasad Ramate. Abhyasad means practice. Ramate is happiness, spiritual happiness or happiness. That happiness in which there is satisfaction arising from repeated practice, abhyasat, not a sudden appearance of satisfaction as in the contact with sense objects, is in the mode of goodness. Enjoying such happiness, one crosses samsara, dukkhatam nigacchati. Dukkha, and we know that means distress. Dukkhatam nigacchati. One goes beyond dukkha, or more specifically, the cycle of birth and death. Not just the moment of distress or dukkha, but the whole dukkha program. Cycle of birth and death. Mode of goodness helps lead one to breaking the wheel of samsara. Mode of goodness doesn't by itself break the wheel of samsara. You have to go beyond the mode of goodness. You have to connect with some yoga system. But yoga systems, whatever it is, require, done properly, at least in terms of the mind and senses, control of the mind and senses that much. Directed by intelligence, that's higher intelligence, not the animal kind. Not the intelligence, because intelligence is needed to go to college. And that's different than spiritual intelligence. So, intelligence that says, let's say technology. You wiggle this over here, and it causes that over there to wiggle. And I learn about it, and I do some studies, and I say, you know, not only that, but, you know, wiggle this plus this, and you get that. I got my PhD. I'm an engineer now. And I can get a good job and get some good pay. And so to move the material energy requires intelligence. Prabhupada speaks, you know, the Europeans that came. Look what they did with a country that was inhabited by others. But, you know, the people that came from Europe, they had intelligence to build this Western civilization. Now, has it brought happiness? That's another thing. But it requires intelligence to do all this stuff, to build the roads and da 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 da. Is there greater happiness? Not really. Has the quality of life improved? Not really. Just an interesting on the side. One of our GBC members, Devamrita Swami, he's the GBC for Gitanagari, he's really keen on what he calls urban-rural connection. He just sent me from Princeton Theological Seminary, they have a division of Princeton University, the Theological Seminary, and one of their the last 5 years or so, they have gone back to the roots that the theological seminary started with, and that is appreciating life with nature, agrarian society, the values of not just Amish people, but, you know, living with the land and being satisfied with what comes from the land, to help connect their theology with God and the gifts of God. So they're investing money, you know, the article goes on to describe, in buying land and helping their seminarians realize God by acting closer to living in harmony with nature. They find it's more effective than just sitting in an ivory tower and studying, or contemplating, or praying, or worshiping, or, you know, anyway, interesting. Interesting. In the beginning, it appears to be poison filled with lots of suffering. This is because it is difficult to control the mind, comma, since the Atma has not yet manifested itself as an entity distinct from the body. But it later becomes sweet, like the falling of streams of nectar, with the attainment of samadhi from manifestation of the Atma as separate from the body. Small thing. I mean, you know, do a survey. You know, not just, you know, Hare Krishna devotees. Do a survey in the world. How many people accept the soul? Huge percentage. How many people live their life that way? And ourselves, we accept we're the soul. How closely are we living our life that way? How much is the day-to-day, hour-to-hour, moment-to-moment consciousness of the soul is separate from the body? We're not there yet. The more you can get there, the dukkha disappears and the sukha of the soul gets closer to you. Goodness, happiness. I'll read that sentence again. In the beginning, it appears to be poison, filled with lots of suffering. This is because it is difficult to control the mind, since the Atma has not yet manifested itself as an entity distinct from the body, but later becomes sweet, like the falling of streams of nectar, with the attainment of samadhi from manifestation of the Atma as separate from the body. This happiness and the mode of goodness arises from the intelligence which has been purified by concentrating on the Atma. So the mind has to go there, but the mind has to go there because the intelligence goes there. When things are in disarray, the mind rules. And actually, it's the senses are dictating to the mind that then says, hey, intelligence, figure out how to get some of those objects, or how to get rid of some of those other ones. Please. Yes, sir. At your service. The material intelligence serves the dictates of the mind. It's upside down. And when it's right side up, the intelligence is the intelligence is concentrating on the Atma. I mean, you know, that's discover who you are. Now there's more details besides, you know, Atma. We have spiritual form. And we have spiritual activities in relation to the Supreme, who has spiritual form and spiritual activities, and there's loving reciprocation. So try going to the 10th canto and realizing that. Well, you have to do some preliminary work first. Purity here means, because this which arises from purity of intellect connected to Atma, purity here means complete extinction of the contamination arising from contact with material objects. It doesn't say don't contact material objects. It's the contamination arising from the expectation of happiness in contacting material objects. Not even material objects, spiritual objects. You know, when I'm chanting, if I'm not experiencing some people, if I'm not experiencing something, my expectation of what I should be experiencing, then you start to worry. I feel frustrated. Something's wrong, you know. When we don't have expectation, I just got this really nice letter from a teenager just today. With encouragement, they're now chanting six rounds a day, and they're finding they're so much more peaceful. And they're finding that their academic work is improving so much. Now, it's not like, hey, I think I'll chant more because then I'll be more peaceful and I'll get more better academic improvement. It's just, it's happening because they have some faith in the hearing process and it's having its effect. But you just start packing in those, I'm expecting Krishna to deliver this and that and the other thing, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare. And then, you know, it's a mix. It blocks the intelligence meditating on the Atma and ultimately the Paramatma and our relationship with Bhagavan. But you know, this is just dealing right here with the mode of goodness. Now for passion, the happiness which arises from relationship of the senses, such as the eye and skin, with the sense objects, such as youthful form or touch, which in the beginning is like nectar, being very enjoyable, but which later becomes full of suffering, like poison, because of causing one to attain hell, is happiness in the mode of passion. And finally, that happiness which from its inception and in its maturity is an illusion for the self, covering the true nature of things, mohana atmanaha, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and inattention, pramada, one of the offenses against chanting, pramada, is happiness in the mode of ignorance. Alasya means lethargy concerning use of the senses. Pramada means lack of attention to what should be done and what should not be done. So, Bhagavad Gita is giving us the foundational standards for the yoga system, ultimately bhakti yoga, and the goal of the mode of goodness is not just so we can feel more peaceful and less distress and greater happiness. It's not about us. It's just in that mode of goodness, it will help us get closer to transcendence. It's like taking wet wood and making it dry so it can ignite. The goal is the fire of sacrifice unto the Supreme. But we're not ready to sacrifice unto the Supreme if I'm still in the passionate ignorance mode. I don't have time. I'm too busy with being successful. Don't have time. The mode of goodness is it's a priority for me. Doesn't mean I don't do things that are practical. I do things that are practical. But the consciousness behind those things that I do that are practical in this in my maturing in life is the consciousness that it's meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. It's not just meant for so I feel more peaceful and less stressed out. Stress management. So let's see if there's some discussion. That's a nice topic. Any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I had a... when you talked about expectation and not having expectations, kind of...
Don't have material expectations. You'll become zero.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So you said not having expectation is kind of impersonalism.
Yes.
Well, I in my mind, I always thought, at least my understanding was no expectation, no disappointment kind of thing. And also the fruitive mentality is when you do something, you tend to expect something, like
yes.
you're saying, material expectation.
Yes.
So
you just
want
me to elaborate
sure.
on
yes.
that a little bit?
Yes. Please.
Sure. Expect that Krishna is kind. He can do with me whatever he likes. If I say, your kindness should look like this. I want a relationship with you. I want service for you. That's an expectation. Whatever that service is, you can, you know, direct me however you like. Bring it on, you know. But my position is, the expectation is, that's like Prahlad. You're the master, I'm the servant, and there's nothing else. Now, that can be like no expectation, but there is an expectation. I'm the servant. I want to know what the master wants. That's what servant's expectation is. To carry out the wish, the will, it's love of the master or the object of love. What's how I'm going to feel about that what the beloved wants. But it's an expectation. It's a transcendental expectation. So let's go to the perfected souls in Vrindavan. They want Krishna's association. Some want to protect him. Some want to be his friend. And some this and some that. So there's different rasas. Yeah, that's in the perfected stage. Now, Lord Chaitanya says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, bha, jagadish, kamaye. But there is an mama janmani, janmani, bhavatad bhakti rahaita ki tuhi. That's the expectation. That's dependent on Krishna's mercy. So he's asking, please just engage me in your unmotivated service. Birth after birth. I don't even want liberation. Birth after birth. So no material, but spiritual. You can say spiritual desire. Maybe it makes it easier than expectation. I can count on the fact that Krishna is kind. That's a spiritual, it's a reality. Krishna is kind. That kindness may come in a way that I wouldn't have designed myself sometimes. That's fine. Just like your son. He would design mom and dad to do things differently than mom and dad do. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, that's a spiritual desire, it's not material.
Yes.
But there's a desire. desire for pleasure to some degree.
There's a desire for pleasure?
Yeah, because it's spiritual, but ultimately they desire pleasure. I mean, it's a pleasurable thing to associate with Krishna.
Yes.
So.
But when they're anticipating his association, they're experiencing pain, but that pain is another type of bliss. That's a mystery. But it's a fact.
So, isn't the motivation to chant the Maha Mantra, I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Sushastakam that he'll tolerate even if he gets embraced by Krishna?
Yes.
So, in one sense, should we desire that manifestation of Krishna in chanting? I mean, we should focus on it, but if the motivation behind is to get pleasure out of it?
No. The motivation is Krishna gets pleasure out of it. And that's pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
That's spiritual pleasure. Service. The servant experiences pleasure by pleasing the master, including in chanting. And if there's the other kind of expectation, it's a roller coaster. Called the mind. Okay. You have something? Yes or no? Yes. Okay.
My question is regarding the same topic, but with respect to spirituality, when we associate with devotees, and of course all of our aim is to serve Krishna ultimately, but different devotees have different levels of that motivation.
Naturally, yes.
So when we interact with such devotees and when you see that there is a gap between what you expect in terms of service for Krishna.
Sure.
And when you miss that, on one hand, we are conscious that we shouldn't be committing an offense towards the devotees.
That's correct.
But on the other hand, the fact that the services are not up to the mark of, let's say, Prabhupada, what Prabhupada prescribed, then how do we stop that from destroying ourselves in terms of bhakti?
How do we stop fault finding? That's what your question is?
Like
how criticizing others because they don't meet the standard that Prabhupada gave us.
Not criticizing that, but how do I? What should be my thinking in terms of those kind of services? How do I stop committing offenses?
He can protect himself from that gap.
Oh, how do you protect yourself?
Yeah.
The standard that Prabhupada gave me is this, and I'm down here. And I want to go to that standard, but I'm down here. Now, how do I protect myself, is your question?
How do, you see there are different devotees performing different services.
Yes.
But when you see that, when you feel that something, you feel, okay, it's not up to what is.
Are you speaking about your own service, or you're speaking about how you perceive others?
Perceiving others.
Okay. So, Vishnu Das, nice devotee, but he is not up to the standard. And I've heard the standard is here, and Vishnu Das is not there yet. Now, how do I? I just want to be clear what you're asking. How do I regard Vishnu Das when he's down here and he should be up there?
When devotees are performing like Vishnu Das, when he's performing his services, let's say from my point of view, I see it as a little less than what I expected for Krishna.
I got that part. So what's the punchline?
Then how do I prevent myself from committing an offense thinking that he's not up to the mark?
Okay, well you're saying the same thing I said.
Yes.
Okay, so now we have the question clear. there's many things to say on this, but keeping it simple, Bhakti Siddhanta taught something that resonated from the first time I read it 48 years ago and still today. a Vaishnava, that's you, trying to be a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is one who never finds fault in others, for by so doing is indicating their own heart is honeycombed with that same fault. So say reverse. Someone who is actually qualified, they can see, but they don't find fault. They wish to be in service to that person, so they can also be an assistant for them to come to that standard. They don't find fault, they serve. The intelligence factor isn't off. They can see. But their mood is not one of finger pointing. Because by finger pointing, there's another five coming, there's four coming back. My own heart is honeycombed with that same defect. The next paragraph. Therefore, that's what not to do. Therefore, the Vaishnava is one who always looks within. So if I'm seeing something out there that makes me a little uncomfortable because it's not what should be, what's inside here that's not what should be? And even specific to that area of service. Let me make my own heart pure. That's my business. Not evaluating and judging other people. That's not my business. I should see through the lens of Scripture, but the business of making something clean is over here. And when this is over clear, it's exactly in the mode of goodness, that purity mentioned, purity of intelligence. I then have Super Soul will give me the intelligence. How can I be of best assistance to that person? If I'm not in that purity of consciousness, I'm not going to be able to assist that person. And I may find myself getting steeped in doo-doo. Making an offense of, you know, in my mind at least, criticizing, if not verbally or some other way. I'm making myself dirty. So my first business is to make my heart clean. Not judge. We should see, but don't judge. Serve. And you can serve best if your heart is pure. That's my first business. Make my heart pure. No, that's mode of goodness. It's exactly what it's being, the verse is expressing, purity of intelligence. Intelligence is the faculty of discernment. So one aspect of intelligence is, Vishnu Das is at this level, Prabhupada's teaching is at that level. That's discernment. Now, intelligence that gets further purified is, how can I be of service to Vishnu Das? And one of the things I need to do to be of service is I need a heart that's more pure. It's a really simple phrase. I'll say it again, it's nice. A Vaishnava, this is there's some context to my reading this from Bhaktisiddhanta. The context is nice. But what he wrote was, it's a preface to a book, a larger book, but the preface is this. A Vaishnava is one who never finds fault in others, for by so doing, he's simply indicating his own heart is honeycombed with the same fault. Paragraph. Rather, a Vaishnava is one who always looks within. And that, you know, within means what needs to be clean over here. Where are the doshas or the faults over here? What are the shortcomings over here? What can I do to make those shortcomings improved? And so here's some things I can do. And it's a project, a brahminical project, make the heart pure project. The next follow-up. With purity, Krishna will give the intelligence. How can be of service to not only this person, but the world, or whatever the circle of involvement of is. Okay. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. These three verses describe happiness, different grades, different under different modes.
The
relationship with, you know, lower modes with something, happiness of body, then happiness of mind. Then I think the mode of goodness is saying happiness of intelligence. And you also quoted Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma.
The distinction you just made is not exactly what the verse says or the purport says. But keep going.
You also quoted Brahma Bhuta.
Yes.
Prasannatma. Is that transcendental happiness?
Yes, it's Brahman realization.
So
Brahma Bhuta. Brahman realization. Brahman realization means exactly what it says here, that I am Atma, I am Brahman. I'm not the body, I'm not the covering, I'm not the mind, I'm not the senses. The happiness of the senses meeting sense objects, that's not me. The unhappiness of senses meeting sense objects, certain ones, that's not me. I'm Atma, I'm Brahman.
So the happiness of bhakti is
above that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's preliminary. But it's a stage. And from that stage one can mad bhaktim labhate param. Yeah.
It was a very elaborate lecture, Maharaj. I really liked it. And the points you mentioned about the mode of goodness is not lying, maintaining purity, regulation and tolerance. By your kind association, the desire for self-discovery, self-realization awakens. But there is lack of cultivation of this four mode of goodness aspects, like you mentioned.
Okay.
Tolerance,
okay,
and
okay,
regulation.
Okay.
So what would be the result of the journey?
Look out, you're heading for the ditch, man. Okay. You know, the regulation, these items assist in the cultivation of goodness. And the cultivation of goodness is necessary to go to acknowledging with the intelligence and staying there that I'm spirit soul and not all these other things. Until then, it's a mama maya duratyaya. That's what it is. Right?
Yes,
yes, Maharaj. Yes.
Maharaj.
Over here. Yeah, we're ready. You don't need a microphone. You're like a strong voice.
Maharaj, when we look at three modes of material nature,
yeah,
does it say that one who is ignorant and one who is passionate cannot love God?
No. It's covered love of God, but love of God is of the soul.
So an ignorant person and a passionate person can love God?
Well, you're asking the same question. It doesn't change the answer. It says covered. Karma lakayena sharira bandha. Rishabh Dev says it's like there's a light fixture. And inside the light fixture, there's probably a filament or something that's radiating the light. So that has some kind of you know, glass covering it. And it can be transparent glass, can be that kind of glass, can make it pink, make it green, make it blue, make it orange. But the light inside is still the light inside. You know, you can paint the lens over the glass and it looks like blue light or red light. But behind it, it's not. So someone who's covered by the modes of nature, you know, they're going to shine forth their love of God in an ignorant way. You know, 9/11. Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to heaven. Allah, 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 Allah. The whole thing. It's, you know, it's the modes of nature at work in the name of God's work. You know, the happiness is I'm going to go, you know, good luck going to heaven, etc. There's some attachment, but too much affinity for the modes of nature. Yes.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. So through Bhagavad Gita we understand that the modes has a tendency to dominate each other. The three modes.
They compete for supremacy.
Supremacy. So similarly, sometimes the mind can dominate the intelligence, you know.
Sometimes.
So in that case, because today's class we were talking about the intelligence more, you know, to give more practice, or the intelligence becomes.
That's mode of goodness.
Yeah. So under this case, like most of the time, you know, the mind dominates. In that case, you become more emotional, or sometimes we think like a later on, I didn't think that.
Not become more emotional, but the emotional rules.
Yeah.
The emotion rules. There's nothing wrong with emotion. You don't like get a dagger and just kill emotion. You don't kill emotion. It's natural. But when it rules without proper intelligence guiding it, amusement park. So
my question is, how to avoid it and you know, the intelligent part to work on it, because it's not
cultivate transcendence and start with the cultivation of the mode of goodness. Canto 7, just after the whole Prahlad Maharaj narration, chapter 11, Canto 7. Narada is asked a question by Yudhisthira, because he's narrated it to Yudhisthira. Wow! Prahlad is way up there. How do you get way up there? I'm supposed to be king. I'm supposed to help my subjects get way up there, like Prahlad. How do you do it? Then Narada starts describing the Varnashram system. Before you can do the Varnashram system, you have to be a human being. And then there's qualities of the human being. So, you know, start with becoming a human being. You got to start somewhere. So, and those human being qualities, they're qualities of goodness. Very similar to chapter 13, text 8 through 12. These are items of knowledge, very similar. And how do you get those? Mai chananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini. Avyabhichari bhakti. How do you get that? Achari upasanam. That gets this position. So we need association of persons that have quality, and then we can develop quality in association with those persons who have it. And then the qualities become your decoration. It takes practice. Exactly what the verb is. It's cultivation, abhyasa. to stay on course, you have to have a spiritual conception of life, because otherwise you won't stay on course. You'll go for a while, and then you get, you know, like this question Shravan was asking, you know, you start heading for the ditch. You get like, the modes of nature start to act and pull the mind over this way, or push it over that way, and we need a spiritual conception of life. Therefore, we read Bhagavad Gita regularly. Now, I read that. What's next? Okay. So I'm going to... Last question. And then we're going to have a little fun. Let me show a little video.
Guru Maharaj, in a place like high school where expectations are basically like the basis of like everything from relationships to life. How do you get out of the mindset of having material expectations while interacting and with people and stuff like that?
Interacting with people and stuff like that. Well, you get to the place where you want to please Krishna.
Yeah.
And you get to that place where you want to please Krishna by wanting to please Guru, because he'll, that will guarantee that that'll be pleasing to Krishna. So you do that. Say it positively and then say it negatively. As much as you do that, what's that? I'm moving around the hallways and sitting in the classroom and doing my, you know, high school thing. So, then there's an expectation from other people, and also I want acceptance from my peers, and I want to have friends, and I don't want to be a weirdo, and you know, so I do these social things because, you know, I've got my expectations of, and I think they have theirs. So it doesn't mean that you don't need friends, but your real friend is Krishna. And so you do those things with your friends that's in the pursuant to, or not inconsistent with, pleasing Krishna. And things that are just not consistent with pleasing Krishna, you shrug your shoulders and smile. You don't have to, like, yell at them or something. You just do the things that are pleasing to Krishna and not otherwise. And if you cultivate that consciousness, not only in high school, you know, at any stage of life, then you're giving service to others just because you're carrying that devotion to Krishna, bhakti energy within you. You've become an agent of transformation. Even if you don't say stuff, or you say stuff that's, you know, in the mode of goodness, instead of, you know, getting into the other kind of modes of nature stuff. Because it's, and for the purpose of pleasing Krishna.